Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Verna Thomas-Milton, and good evening. Welcome to the Metroplex Buzz Business Podcast. And I am so excited about this evening. Tonight is our fourth business podcast for this month with efforts to help small businesses. And also, tonight is also our last business podcast for this year. So we have a great speaker for, a great guest this evening. She is a top supervisor for the DFW region. She is Nancy Alvarez. And Nancy Alvarez is the head of 8A Business Development Programs at the SBA Dallas-Fort Worth District Office. She is responsible for providing leadership, management, oversight, to optimize the development of SBA's programs and services in North Texas. So we are honored to have her tonight, and I am excited. So I hope you all can hear me okay. We've been having some difficulties with this mic. And Nancy, let me make sure that you are in. Okay, Nancy.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
very good. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you for being our special guest. Nancy, I want to let everybody know this is the second time this year we have had her as the guest. And this, because they are very much concerned, this is our second time this year to have SBA on for a full month. We've done full months of SBA presentations, episodes with the GSA as well as the Apex Accelerators. So I am glad to know that you're here. And Nancy, I want to tell you as well as tell everybody else, because of the government overload, and I've been pushed very hard this week, so the month of October, we will not have any. Well, I will not be the host for the October podcast. I'll put it that way. Somebody else may be the host because of my workload. My workload has gotten exceedingly heavy. So I'm having to slim down some of my work. So the podcast is what I'm going to have to skip for the month of October. So this is going to be the very last one we're going to have for a while. So, Nancy, we got a lot of questions for you. I know you're ready to go with what's going on with SBA. So can you kind of give us an idea of what you are doing now and who you are there?
Yeah, so thank you. And again, hello, everyone. My role at the SBA as supervisor, 8A business development specialist, is to assist small businesses with government contracting and certification. I've been with the Dallas-Fort Worth District Office 11 years now, or a little over 11 years, but I've been with the SBA for 24. So to give you an overview of SBA's program, which I think it's the best way to start, is if you look at our mission is to help small businesses start, grow, expand, and recover. So there are four branches in there. Within each branch, we offer different programs. So, for example, for individuals that want to start their business, we provide counseling. We provide access to capital. So a lot of resources to help small businesses start from the ground up. A lot of the counseling that is done through our resource partners, like the Small Business Development Center. We also have a Veterans Business Outreach Center. So our resource partners are partially funded by the SBA with, again, the intent is to assist our small business entrepreneurs start and grow their business. In the aspect of grow and expand, we have different programs as well. We have programs, government contracting, business development. The 8A program specifically is a program designed to help small businesses be competitive in the federal marketplace. Also in the program of growth and expansion, we have our export programs. And lastly, under recover, we have the disaster assistance program. And so we recently experienced what the SBA can do with that program under the COVID. So we were able to provide loans and grants under that program for companies that had been affected by the COVID pandemic. So again, we kind of provide services all around from, you know, start to expansion, growth, you name it, and we even help help small businesses recover.
Okay. Let me ask you something, Nancy. Can you share some tips for small businesses looking to get started in government contracting and to maximize their chances of success and what they need to do?
Sure, and I'll probably start by explaining how SBA's programs in terms of government contracting work. And so what the SBA has done is set up these programs where it assists small businesses compete in the federal marketplace. How do they do this? So small businesses have to meet the criteria for to participate in the small business program. And the primary small business programs are, for example, small business, women-owned, small disadvantaged business, which includes the 8A program. We have the Hub Zone program, and we have the Service Disabled Veteran-Owned Small Business program. All of those programs, the main requirement is that a business has to be small according to SBA size standards. Mm-hmm. So that's the primary criteria. Each other program has its own criteria. So I'm going to give you, for example, the women-owned small business criteria, that you have to be 51% owned, managed, and controlled by a woman. We do a 2-hour workshop where we go on the eligibility criteria for each of these programs, and we also teach you how the process of applying goes, what you need to do from getting registered in SAM to applying for the certification through SBA portal. That is the first Wednesday of every month from 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, once you have your certification, the advantage that that gives you is that you are only competing with other small businesses that are certified as well. So think about the impact of that. You're not having to compete with large businesses, and we all know how that affects our involvement in government contracting or a small business involvement in government contracting, we really can't compete with those large companies. So these programs are really designed to allow you to compete with other small business programs. We also have subcontracting assistance program, and this one's really interesting because oftentimes I get a lot of people that will ask me, okay, well, I just started my business. Would I be able to perform the contract? And, of course, it depends the nature of the contract, right? If it's a contract that is technical in nature, the contracting officer might take into consideration your experience in working in that industry. However, we have ways to assist you in getting basically into government contracting through this subcontracting assistance program. And so how this works is we have our prime contractors, and these are mostly large businesses like Lockheed, Raytheon, you know, big name companies that have contracts with the federal government. And we impose a goal on these large businesses to subcontract out work to the smaller businesses. In recent years, we've implemented a system where the prime contractor evaluates the performance of a small business, and that experience right there translates into what we call past performance, meaning you've done contracting, you perform on a federal contract, even if it wasn't as a prime contracting level, as long as you are the first tier subcontractor. So again, with that, we have also other programs like the Mentor Protege program, which can help you gain access to federal contracting opportunities by basically partnering with another company. It could be a large business. Once you're approved in the SBA Mentor Protege program, you can pursue contracting opportunities with your mentor and be protected from what we call affiliation. Right, where if you do not have an approved Mentor Protege program, you would be deemed other than small if your mentor is large. With the approved SBA Mentor Protege program, now your joint venture with your large mentor is considered a small business as well. And so you gain a lot of experience, and you also bring with you the reputation of a large business, while at the same time that large business also being able to perform on federal contracts. Now, the advantage to the large business is that they get to compete with their small business partners in the federal contracting arena. And again, they bring the experience, they bring the financial backing, and joint ventures actually, you know, gains the experience of both partners. So again, both of the mentor, both the mentor and the gain value experience, and again, the large mentor will not be able to participate in this small business arena if they wouldn't be approved, you know, if they weren't in the mentor protege program. So again, there are so many programs out here, and Vern, I just wanted to add what's going on over the past year, which there has been a push to increase participation of small businesses in federal contracts. So we have our agencies working in partnership with SBA.
Nancy, excuse me for a minute. Your voice is kind of fading out. Are you directly inside of your, I mean, are you talking directly inside of your speaker?
No, I am. Yes, I'm not on the phone. I'm on the computer.
Okay, you're on the computer. Okay, if you have a mic, talk directly into the mic. You can't.
Okay. If not, I could try calling in from my cell phone. If that helps.
I can hear you. We can hear you. We just hear.
Okay.
I hear you fading in and out. So I'm just trying.
Okay. Let me know if this helps. Okay. I've gotten closer to the mic here.
Yes. Yes, it does. Okay.
Yes. Please let me know if continue to hear that. And as I was saying, I was talking about the Mentor Protege program and how this helps. And again, there are so many different programs through the SBA. I always encourage small businesses, doesn't matter at what phase of your small business endeavor you are, take a look at SBA's programs and services, because somewhere in there we should be able to assist. So, yeah, a lot of assistance, a lot of resources. And we were talking. I'm sorry, I forgot that I was mentioning the assistance we provide that has come about over the past year, which is the support of our federal agencies. And in doing so, we want to make sure that we prepare the companies to perform on these federal contracts. So there's a great deal amount of money being spent on training small businesses on how to do business with the federal government. That includes writing proposals, coming up with a cost estimate, anything having to do with contract administration. There's training that we are providing to prepare these small businesses to be able to bid and perform on these contracts.
I see. Let me ask you something. I just heard you say a little bit ago some of the large contractors that have contracts, which are the prime contractors, and you all have a program that will actually work with the small business. For instance, the Raytheon and Lockheed, that's local. If a person wanted to do business with them, so can you help them get a contract with Raytheon and Lockheed if they had things that they can service or supply them?
Yeah, so let me share with you how this program works. And if anyone that's interested in finding out a little bit more about how this program works, there's a great resource on our website under federal contracting, and just go to the link that says prime and subcontracting. But in a nutshell, let me explain how this works. Any contracting opportunity that is bid in the open market, and sometimes on the small business set aside, if it's a large enough contract, it might have a requirement for what's called a subcontracting plan. So the prime contractor, along with its bid, has to submit the subcontracting plan identifying small businesses that are going to do the subcontracting work for them. And mm-hmm. So that plan also includes these goals that have been passed on to the prime contractors. Now, here's what's interesting about this program is that these prime contractors are graded on how well they perform on the plan. Uh-huh. And that rating given to them on their execution of this plan is scored and used in a future bid. So the higher their points on reaching the goals of the subcontract, the higher their rating, which will be taken into consideration on their next proposal.
I see. Okay.
With that plan, yeah, so with that plan, anybody that's interested in that, they can reach out to SBA's SBA's commercial market representative.
Mm-hmm.
And the commercial market representative will give you the small business liaison for that prime contract. Each prime contractor has their own SBLO. It's called Small Business Liaison Office. So she can give you a listing, and you could establish contact with the prime and let them know that you're interested in serving as a small business.
So she is the commercial who? What is her title again?
She's called Commercial Market Representative.
I see.
So she is the person at the SBA responsible for evaluating that subcontracting goal.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that the prime contractors are meeting their goals that's set in that subcontracting.
Okay. Now let me ask you something also. If a person has a business, and this is a text message I'm getting here, if they've been in business for less than 5 years, but they have a huge type of business, what they do. And if they, for instance, if I had a car dealership and I wanted to buy inventory, how can I, will SBA give me a, will they secure a loan for a small business of such, of that type business?
So
how do
those
they
are called,
the SBA loan?
They're called the floor plan, right? So yes, there are loans available to cover what's called the floor plan for dealership.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, who is,
and if they're interested in that, definitely if they're interested in that, have them go to our lender relations section there on our website. It will have a lender match tool. They will complete the questions in there, submit it, and they should get a lender interested in learning more about their project and contact them with an application.
Okay, very good. Now, let me ask you also, Nancy, how does SBA help small businesses in terms of procurement opportunities, and what resources are available? I mean, I think you may have explained it already, but can you reiterate on that? Okay, if a small business wants to procure the opportunity, what
yes,
should they do?
I want to start first with talking about our resource partners to assist our small business connect with federal contracting, and there are various of them. From what's called, they're called now APEX Accelerators, but they used to be called Procurement Technical Assistance Center, has a grant to fund the APEX Accelerator. This is funding under Department of Defense, and Department of Defense interest is for APEX to assist small businesses do business with Department of Defense and other federal, state, and local agencies. So this is a great resource in terms of any information that you need, whether it's understanding how to respond to a solicitation. The specific assistance that they provide is geared towards government contracting. That's their principal focus. But we also have other resources that can be of assistance as well, and that includes our SCORE counselors, Women's Business Centers, the Veterans Business Outreach Center can assist in that regard as well. And we also have the Small Business Development Center. So we have plenty of local resources that will assist an entrepreneur who's interested in connecting with the federal government. That's one aspect of it. The other assistance is if a lot of people sometimes are not sure where to start, our local SBA people, myself, or Kevin Sloan, who works in my division, will be more than happy to sit down with them and kind of explore exactly what it is that they're trying to achieve. And we can provide them guidance on how to start, how to get registered, and potentially what certification might be fit for them based on what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you something else. What is the key benefits for small businesses that's participating with SBA government contracting program that you all have now?
Absolutely, and that's a great question. You know, there's so much that a small business can gain. First of all, you can gain experience and expand your business and grow it through federal contracting opportunities. The federal government does business not only here in the United States, because we do have employees and facilities that we need to support throughout the world, from embassies to military installations. So we provide our products and services throughout the world. And we need small businesses to be able to help us basically fulfill these needs all over the world. So again, it gives a small business the opportunity to slowly start growing. Our subcontracting programs can help them get their foot on the door by gaining some experience. And eventually, again, once you grow, once you expand and start doing business with the federal government, pretty much sky's the limit, because again, you can pursue opportunities overseas, and you can also form partnerships with other small businesses or large businesses to continue to perform. So I've seen, for example, local companies that I've worked with expand to the point where they now have satellite offices out of different states, Seattle, California, Washington. So again, the main benefit is that, you know, you can use this program to grow your business.
And let me ask you something. As also, we have my business, we do global shipping. We have factories that can ship all over the United States. So if I had a particular product that I wanted to market, maybe overseas, for instance, mm-hmm. it's a military spec, particular barrier material. How can you help me with that?
There's a couple of ways to go around providing a product to the federal government. You have number one, what's called APHIS, and they're the armed forces. They basically provide the supplies to the exchange and the commissaries all over the world. So if you have a product that you would want to provide, let's say the military installations, you might want to connect with APHIS. And APHIS will give you a listing of the products that they're buying. There might be a product that you want to present to APHIS that you probably is not being sold, but it could potentially, it has some use in the federal government or military installations. And you can go through APHIS to basically provide that product. Now, the other option as well is going through Department of Defense. And Department of Defense might put out a solicitation via SAM, System for Award Management, and you can certainly bid on that. Now, one word of caution here, if you are in the product, if you're in the business of providing a product, I would encourage you to sit down with an SBA person, whether that is a procurement center representative or a business opportunity specialist like myself or Kevin in the office, that will help you understand the non-manufacturing rule, which is tied to the supply of products to the federal government.
Okay. Right?
So that is very important.
They are USA made.
Correct. That's the first thing to do.
Okay. So these are USA made products. But are you telling me that we can sit down with you about APHIS as well? The SBA help us with
the not APHIS, but I do have a point of contact for APHIS. I believe Sandra Wicks is still there, and I will be more than happy to share that information with you, Verna, and you can share it with the audience if, you know, anyone contacts you regarding the information for APHIS. But you can also Google APHIS, A-A-F-E-S. If you Google that, you'll be able to go to the website, to the portal. It'll give you information on how to do business with APHIS, and it'll also give you the small business representative's number.
Okay. Woo! Well, you know, we have a caller that wants to ask you a question also, and I'm going to get to that caller. But it's unbelievable how they are purchasing things right now, and I mean all over. I mean that's the reason why I can't even do my podcast next month because my business is overwhelmed. I don't have enough people to help me do all of this, so I'm having to shut the podcast down for October, just for October, to help me catch up. But now I'm gonna come to you, caller. In fact, I'm gonna click you in. Your number is 2116. Okay, you're on the line. You wanna go ahead?
Yeah.
Hello.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Oh, okay. I wanted to know if you can explain the different SBA programs that's available for small business seeking government contracts, such as the 8A Business Development Program and the HUBZone Program.
Sure. And I'm assuming the question has to do with maybe the eligibility criteria, or are you asking for the benefits of each of those programs?
For the eligibility criteria.
Sure, yes. So let's start with the 8A program. And the 8A program has a fairly extensive criteria. For the 8A program, you have to be in business for at least 2 years as evidenced by tax returns. If you go to our website, it will tell you, it's called the potential for success. And the potential for success, again, has to do with your ability to perform on a contract. You have the resources to perform on a contract. The other criteria that you must meet is that you have to be 51% owned, managed, and controlled by a socially and economically disadvantaged individual. Now, right now the 8A program is on hold for applications, so we're not accepting applications because we are responding to a challenge to the program, and we need to make sure that we address the court and the application process to be able to explain this economic and social disadvantage and how SBA is going to continue to do this. But let me explain this social disadvantage. The law presumes certain individuals to be socially disadvantaged. Moving forward, there won't be this presumption. You must demonstrate that you have suffered some social disadvantage and that you are economically. So let's look at two of them separately. If you have a distinguishing feature that you consider has created some discrimination towards you, let's say women can claim gender as a social disadvantage. If you're in a male-dominated industry, it's not uncommon to suffer discrimination because you're a woman because, you know, again, it's a male-dominated industry, and so this could consider you to meet the criteria social disadvantage. So in the future, SBA will be requesting that you demonstrate how you meet that social disadvantage. Economic disadvantage comes from what I call the three-pronged test. We're going to look at personal net worth. We're going to look at income, and we're going to look at total assets and net worth. I'm sorry, the three are net worth, total assets, and income. The threshold for those are it's $850,000 for personal net worth. That would exclude the equity in your primary residence and the equity in the business. So your net worth has to be less than $850,000. Your adjusted gross income should be less than $400,000 averaged over 3 years. So take your last three total income divided by three to come up with your three-year average. That should be less than $400,000. And your total assets should be less than $6.5 million. SBA will also take into consideration good character. And good character has to do with you need to make sure that you do not owe the federal government money in terms of being in good standing. So you can have an SBA loan, for example. As long as you're in good standing, you're paying that loan, that's good. There's other character issues that would disqualify you. Bankruptcy is not one of them. So you could have filed bankruptcy and still be able to apply for the 8A program. However, if in that bankruptcy you included a debt for the government, like a student loan, or you're delinquent in your federal taxes, then that would kind of disqualify you unless you could show that you have made arrangements to pay off the debt. And lastly, again, we're looking at the potential for success, which includes 2 years in business as evidenced by tax returns. The program is a 9-year program. The first 4 years are considered the developmental stage, and the last 5 years of the program are the transitional. The benefits of participating in that program include receiving one-on-one business counseling throughout the 9-year program, you can pursue a mentor protege program within the program within the 8A program, and your joint venture with your partner would be deemed, for example, 8A, as long as the joint venture set up where the 8A holds 51% of that joint venture. You can qualify for federal surplus property on a priority basis. You also have access to free training from our 7J Management and Technical Assistance Program. So again, a lot of benefits, you know, and not even counting that you're going to help your business grow, because the objective of this program is to help small businesses be competitive in the federal marketplace. And I just want to mention one more benefit, which is the primary benefit everyone looks for in this program, and is that you can compete and receive set-aside and sole source contracts for participating in this program. That really is a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The next you probably want to highlight is the Hub Bula. Well, we discussed the women on. Let's discuss the Hub Zone program. And the Hub Zone program is geographically driven. So the government has reserved contracting opportunities for companies that certify themselves as the Hub Zone. And this program is really designed to promote growth in economically distressed areas. Hub Zone stands for historically underutilized zones, and basically it is designed to, again, assist the local area, you know, gain jobs, create economic growth, and it's a great program. Now, the criteria for the Hub Zone program is, number one, you have to be small, SBA size standard in your primary nation code. You must be at least 51% owned and controlled by a U.S. citizen. And then the principal place business must be located in a hub. And the last requirement is that 35% of your employees reside in a hub. So I would encourage anyone interested in looking at this program to go to our SBA website and click on federal contracts and go to the hub. You'll find a link there that you can enter your business address, and it will tell you if you are in a hub zone or not. And the benefit, again, includes pretty much a lot of the benefits that you're going to hear, for example, in the 8A, not in the 8A program, but in the Women-Owned Small Business program. Also in this hub zone program, it offers a 10% price evaluation preference when you're competing full and open, meaning you're competing with large businesses. And this is a great way for small businesses to compete against large businesses, because, again, you have a handicap, and that's the reason why they give you the 10% price preference. The way it works, it's a little time-consuming to explain, but if you're interested in understanding the 10% price preference, don't hesitate to schedule a claim with me. I'll be more than happy to go into detail how this program is executed as far as that 10% price. So I think we highlighted the women-owned. We highlighted the 8A. We highlighted the Club Zone. The remaining program is the veteran, which is a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. And so you have to have had a service-connected disability to be able to apply and get certified as a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. The website is, if you go to our website, it'll give you the information on how to register. By the way, for all of our certification programs, you must first register in SAM, and your SAM profile must be active before you move on to SBA's website to apply for any of the certifications. Now, the small business certification, which is just based on size, is self-certification. All you would do is go to SAM.gov, which is the System for Award Management, and you would self-certify yourself as a small business. The definition of the small business will be tied to your North American Industrial Classification Code. That will have a corresponding size. Again, if you have questions regarding size and how to determine your size, you can visit our website or again, schedule or email me. I'll be more than happy to share with you how to determine your small business status.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We go in detail on these programs, again, once a month, so please take advantage of those workshops that we set up specifically to just talk about the eligibility criteria and how you should apply. Again, the first Wednesday of every month from 10 to 12.
Okay. Nancy, now let me ask you something. I think it's so paramount that we do as soon as possible, I guess, maybe another live workshop. And the reason why, because I got a text just a little while ago from one of our attendees. She had this big contract with, I don't want to call the facility, but we taught her at our last workshop how to get business, to get in with SAM, get certified, and get registered. She did that. She did exactly how we taught her. She went into this agency, and they gave her three contracts. And she wants me to ask you, what can she do? Because she says she's getting overwhelmed with work. Now they want to give her three more facilities. She said, but she needs to hire more people. She needs to hire another van. She needs to get another van. She said, how can SBA help her? She said, because she only had one van. Now she needs another van. So is there anybody that you can talk to?
Yes, absolutely. I would encourage her to schedule an appointment with either Apex Accelerator, or you can certainly call our office, schedule an appointment with me or with Kevin. This young lady is in a situation, what I call a good situation. It might not look good, but it is a good situation because it means that she's doing a good job, and they want to offer her more work. That's good.
Right.
The problem is certainly the challenge with the skilled workers, right? The having the employees, and so for that, they need to tag on to our resource partners so that they can assist her in identifying or implementing a plan that will help her grow. Lastly, I also want to point out that we have an excellent program which we do once a year. It is a CEO boot camp. I call it a CEO boot camp. It's really called Thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal of that program is to help small businesses implement a plan to scale their business. So that might be something that she might be interested in. I think that their revenue should be, I think, more than $250,000 a year, but less than $10 million. And that'll put that individual through an 8-month training. They meet once a month for 4 hours. And again, they'll be working on putting together a plan that they will execute at the end of it, but they get an enormous amount of resources. During some of the sessions, they will be able to speak with bankers that will help them understand how to prepare their loan package to present to a bank. I mean, there is so much good information coming out from that program. Usually we get 20 people. We select 20 people, and the SBA is paying for those curriculum, which can average about $10,000 per attendee.
Okay, so can she contact you regardless of this boot camp? CEO
Absolutely.
Boot camp?
Let me give my email address. You can email me.
I'll give her your information. But let me ask them. She's asking me also, she's banking with the Navy Federal Credit Union, something like that. Navy Federal? You all guarantee loans, SBA loans with credit unions?
We guarantee an SBA loan for any bank that is not participating. As long as they are interested in participating in our programs, we will take them through the process of getting into the SBA loan guarantee program. I believe the Navy Federal might be a participating lender. I'm not sure here in Texas, but I know in Florida they were. But anyway, as long as a bank is willing to participate, SBA is willing to train them. We welcome that.
Okay. I'm going to make sure I give her your telephone number
and your email address,
because she needs, and she must be doing a pretty good job, because they're waiting for her to let them know, can she handle the other facilities? And they have about 10. She's doing, she said, two. She said, Miss Milton, she said, I'm trying to get, she said, but I'm running myself regularly because I'm driving myself sometimes to both events. I need another van, and I need some to hire more people. So, but she,
and actually, she should consider too, also a teaming agreement. Find
mm-hmm.
another small business
mm-hmm.
That she can use. Do an agreement with that small business called the teaming agreement, and she can subcontract part of the work to them, and she will be able to make some money from that work.
That's fantastic. Now, that's a fantastic idea. I will let she's listening probably, I mean, because she's texting me. Well, she texted me a little while ago, but I'm sure she's probably working as well. But that sounds good. I mean, she needs to possibly do some of her work with a team, another team. Okay.
Exactly. Another small business.
Woo. I just love you coming on my show. You got so much information. I mean, I get information from myself. We share it with other people, and everybody's
uh-huh.
making some money. Everybody's making money. So I was trying to make some money. Anyway, it's going to make some money. But I want to tell people today that there's a lot out here. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, they're talking about a shutdown, government shutdown. If there be a government shutdown, will it affect the small businesses? If it should, how would it affect the small business? Once you get a contract or before you get a contract? Before you get a contract, I imagine it can, but after you get that contract, will they still, how does that work?
Yeah. So remember that the contracts are tied to the budget as well. So
mm-hmm.
normally, if you got a contract awarded, and that contract has been funded, meaning the money has been reserved,
mm-hmm.
it shouldn't affect you. It shouldn't affect the small business. However, if you have an ongoing contract where funding depends on, again, renewal of that funding source on a yearly basis, then there might be a period of time where you cannot perform. The other thing is that if you are required to report to the facilities, let's say a janitorial company, and you have to report to that facility to clean that facility, and it's closed down, certainly it's going to affect you because you're not going to be able to clean the facilities because it's closed. So you
mm-hmm.
can be affected, but primarily the way it's going to affect anyone moving forward is that until the government is fully funded, then there will not be funding to secure any new contract unless
mm-hmm.
it's an urgent need for the government that they have to fulfill that contract. That's different. Those are special funds that are allocated, and that can happen. But again, it's on an emergency basis. So hopefully we are hoping that we do not go into a shutdown and things happen as normal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, that's how it can affect you. There's a lot of information right now on the website regarding what to do. Please make sure that you look for those URLs if you're going to look for assistance that end with the .gov extension on the URL, because, you know, again, this is an opportunity for, you know, hackers and spammers to take advantage of small businesses by offering assistance that potentially is not available. So always make sure that you validate your source, but there's certainly assistance and information for you out there.
Right, right. Nancy, also, I have several more questions I want to ask you. I hope we have time. What are the upcoming trends you see or initiatives, I guess, of the government that is for contracting that small businesses, I guess, should watch for? Is there a forecast
mm-hmm.
to watch for? Or guess what's coming up?
That's an excellent question, Verna. As you know, we discussed this on my last podcast with you. there is a downward trend. Over the past 10 years, the federal government has noticed that there is a downtrend in the number of small businesses participating in federal contracting, meaning those companies that have been participating before, a lot of them are leaving the federal government industry for different reasons. It's expected to go down by 2024 by 60%. In contrast, that is very beneficial to a small business because that means that there is opportunity for entry. The government wants to certainly change this downward trend. And so to help with this downturn trend, they are incorporating funding to train the small businesses, and not only increasing the goal. As you know, recently the small disadvantage goal went from 5% to 12%, and it will increase again by 2025 to 15%. So think about that. They're spending more money in small businesses over the past 10 years, so that's the increase in funding, while we're seeing the downtrend. So this is good for small businesses, not so good for the federal government. It means that we don't have a larger pool of candidates out there willing to bid for these opportunities. So, again, there's a lot of changes. There's a lot of initiatives to make contracting with the federal government easier for small businesses, training opportunities. So we just don't want to attract small businesses. We want to train them. We want to make sure that they know how to perform, that they know how to administer their contracts. And so we're putting together the resources to do that. Lastly, you know, we recently put together a partnership agreement with GSA where we're using a GSA vehicle just to award contracts to 8A contractors, 8A certified contractors. So again, this is part of that movement of trying to ensure that the opportunities are made available to small business contractors to help them grow and develop. And again, it's unbelievable the amount of resources that are being pumped into the small business community.
Woo! Well, I'm a witness to that. I've been in business for 30-some years, and mostly I would say 95% of my business has always been with government because they're certified. When I say certified, there's so much more help to small businesses for as certified, as well as getting you in the door, giving you the contracts, and some of these contracts can last for 20 years. Well, 5 years, and then they renew them every 5 years. So it's very good to, if you can get in with the government, to do business with the government. And finally, I want to ask you something. Small businesses go to the access, how do they go to access more information and resources relating to SBA's government contracting programs?
So are you, when you're saying the access, are you talking about the surplus property program I highlighted, or?
Well, access more information on all the resources related. For instance, all the resources that you may have that will help small businesses in their contracting.
Yes. So the main place to start is really to look at our website. It's going to give you some great information. It is going to breaks up that website into different portions that make it easy to understand from starting. The first tab is starting, and it'll give you all the assistance the SBA has if you need assistance with starting the business. The next one is access to capital. That one will highlight all of SBA's programs, loan programs, from the 7J, which is our regular loan program, how those loan programs work. You'll find the lender match tool also on that particular section of our website. A lot of helpful information. And then you have the counseling, and in the counseling session, it will highlight who our partners are, how you can get free counseling assistance through our resource partner. You'll see the federal contracting. And it's interesting because under each one of these, listen, sometimes I take a look at some of the areas that are not contracting related, because certainly I know the contracting areas and what kind of programs we have. But, you know, sometimes I look at the other areas and I find myself finding, you know, other programs. Like a program that a lot of people don't know about is the Small Business Innovative Research and the Small Technology Transfer Research Program. Those are grants. They're not grants to start a business. They are grants for companies that are in the research and development, kind of technical companies. And so the government, it's not SBA. SBA administers the funds, but the funds come from the agencies, the federal agencies interested in, again, some of this research and development projects that are going out there in the small business community. So that's a very interesting program, and we've had a lot of companies that have been able to take advantage of that. It provides funding for two phases of this research and development. The third one, which is where you commercialize your product, is it can be done through a loan. It's not a grant, but that's an excellent program right there.
Now let me ask you something.
And they're all on our website.
Nancy, can you give me again your website? Your email, for instance, you was going to give me your telephone number, email, and all of that when we was talking about the young lady who had came to our workshop. Is it possible that you have an email address that you can give out to us, or a number people can call?
Yes.
Need to contact you?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Can you do that now?
So I'm going to give you two email addresses. The first one is a general inbox where you can get, if you have questions related to anything else that is not government contracting, so loans, counseling, working capital, you name it, export, you can email this general inbox. It is managed by a person on a day-to-day basis, and the emails are forwarded to the corresponding personnel responsible for that area. That email is DFWDO, so it stands for Dallas-Fort Worth District Office. So DFWDO, period, email at SBA, as in Small Business Administration, .gov. So that's the general inbox. Any general inquiries can be sent to that email.
Okay,
my
email. You said DFW, DFW,
DO,
like
as in district office.
Okay, and then DO dot. Did you say dot email?
Dot email.
Okay. At SBA.
At SBA.gov.
Okay.
And my email address is Nancy, my first name, Nancy. Period. My last name, which is Alvarez, spelled A, L, B as in Victor, A, R, E as in Edward, Z as in Zebra, at SBA.gov.
Okay.
I'm also going to give you all our main number. Our main number to the office is 817-684-5500, and you can request to be transferred to either myself or anyone else at the SBA Loan Division that will be able to assist you. Those are our main contact information. Please note that a lot of us are still teleworking, so most of us work from home a great deal of the time. But we are still going to the office, and we welcome in-person appointments when we're in the office. So you will be able to coordinate with each one of the individuals according to their schedule if you're interested in an in-person appointment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Nancy, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being a guest this evening. And I want to let everybody know that be careful of this month. You do have a lot of people trying to share with you how they can help you, and they will charge you but it is all free. This is free information, free assistance.
Correct.
So make sure you contact SBA first, and do not click on any links that is not ending with GOV, which is .gov. So, Nancy, thank you. Just thank you. I appreciate you. And I look forward to meeting with you again, to possibly at a live, I don't know if we can have one again in the community this year, but we're going to try. So I'll let you know about that. But meanwhile, thank you. And I know you're going to have a lot of calls tomorrow. I'm going to be probably one of them that's calling you tomorrow. And we will talk then. Okay? Thank you.
Yes.
And
thank you for having me.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We have a lot of people tuning in this evening, and I want to thank them for being, I guess, listening guests. And just remember, we will not have a podcast on Metroplex Buzz in the month of October. We will come back in November. The workload has gotten extremely, extremely heavy, so I'm going to take a break in October. Thank you again for listening. You all have a good night.